It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Excuse me. And she said, As the Lord liveth, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I'll leave off reading there, and I want to draw your attention back to verse 12. She said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I want to preach to you tonight on the widow's two sticks. The widow's two sticks. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight, Lord. There's an enormous amount of distractions. Lord God's people, your people are not committed, Lord, to being here and hearing the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to bind the devil. Please do the work that only you can do. Father, there's a message here that you've given me for your people that Satan does not want to go forth, and we know that. Lord, it's nothing new. But God, I pray that your people would be filled with your spirit. I pray, Father, that you would work here in our midst and not allow, Lord God, our adversary to distract what you want to do here in the hearts of your people. Lord, please, God, we plead the shed blood of Jesus. Lord, we're singing about Christ tonight, adoring Christ and the King of Kings. And Lord God, we need you, Lord God, to work in this place tonight. Please calm all of our spirits. God, help us to focus on Jesus for a little while. And Lord, realizing that you will take care of our needs, if we'll put you first. You will take care of the problems that we have if we'll sit and listen and honor you and let you speak to our hearts as you wish. Lord, I pray that that would be the case tonight. Please, God, again, we ask you to be glorified. That's our desire. That's my desire, that you would be glorified, that Christ would be exalted, that the devil, the adversary, would be reprimanded, would be rebuked, would be cast down, cast out, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. We have here our man of God, Elijah, and I started reading there in the middle of the story for sake of time, but he has been living by the brook, drinking from the water of the brook and being fed by the ravens as he's literally in hiding from Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, because he rebuked him. He said it's not going to rain again until God says so. And the Lord told him to go and basically hide, literally hide, by the brook. Well, the brook dried up. because it wasn't raining, and when there's no rain, eventually the brooks and the creeks, the rivers, the things like that, they dry up. Our story finds the man of God here then meeting a Gentile widow as he follows the leadership of God in his life. And I want you to see, just quickly, his brook had dried up. He was facing some hard times. He was coming up against some things that he did not expect. It's not unusual for you to come in, against some problems in your life that you don't expect, that maybe you weren't planning for. It's not unusual, but here's what I'm trying to see and make you see tonight, if I can, by the grace of God, is that his brook drying up was on purpose because God was going to teach him some things.
Yeah. Amen.
His brook dried up, but it wasn't a mistake. He was right where God put him, but he began to face some dry times in his life. God was leading him to that brook, and then the brook dried up. And listen, even in the reality is, even as a Christian, in the will of God, sometimes the brook dries up.
Yep, that's right.
Sometimes it just seems like you're not being fed. You're not getting what you need when you know that you're in the will of God. Yep. Don't miss those times. It's in those times that God is trying to teach you something that you don't know yet.
Amen. That's right.
It's in those times that God is going to do something in your life that you desperately need to learn from and remember. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I don't remember who it was, but I was sitting back there and listening to the class or something, and somebody in the table in front of me or something had a briefcase, and it was open, and he was taking notes or something. And in his briefcase, though, there was a little sign that he had. And I, it was one of those days where the brook had kind of dried up, and I didn't know how I was going to pay my school bill. I didn't know how I was going to feed my family. Those times happen when you're serving the Lord. I was in the will of God, but the brook was kind of dry right about then. But I remember, and this is just God's grace, I remember looking up and looking at the teachers teaching, but I saw that briefcase open in front of me, and it said it had a little statement in there, obviously for him, but it was for me too. It said, When you're down to nothing, God is up to something.
Amen. Praise God.
And I remember, I'll never forget that. And when you're down to nothing, which I pretty much was, God is up to something. And Elijah was down to nothing. There was no more water in the brook. There was no more ravens feeding him. If there was, he didn't have any water to choke it down, whatever they were bringing him. Amen. And but God was leading, and God was going to teach Elijah something. And I believe that we're going to learn it if we'll allow God to do that for us. We'll learn something. I think you can learn something from everybody.
Amen. Yeah.
Elijah's a great man of God. I think if you know your Bible, you have great respect for Elijah.
Yeah.
But he's about to learn something from a little widow.
Yeah.
Yep.
He probably wouldn't have thought that he could learn anything from her.
Right.
But I promise you, if you're humble, if you're teachable, if you allow God to do what God wants to do, you can learn something from everyone.
Right.
Now, you may learn what not to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
But you're still learning.
Yeah.
But Elijah's about to learn something special from this widow that you and I maybe haven't even learned yet. Elijah was going to learn some things, and he was going to learn these things, I believe, from these two sticks. Now, this is all God and his working, but who thought I can learn anything from two sticks? Notice again in verse 12, she specifically says, I'm gathering two sticks. I wonder why, Lord, two sticks. I mean, have you ever even looked at that? Two sticks. Now, we know that she's about to go build a fire. She was going to build a fire, a small fire, and she was going to cook the little bit of food she had left, and she was going to die.
Yep.
But those two sticks, God in my heart, God in my head, God in my spirit this week, and I thank God is trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
Two sticks.
Amen.
Let's get right into this tonight. And number one, quickly, let's look at the providential hand of God.
Amen.
God's providential hand was putting this little widow woman right in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
In the right place at the right time. I want you to notice there in verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. She was gathering her two sticks, but she was right at the right place at the right time. God is sovereign.
Yeah.
God is providential. God is able to orchestrate things and put the pieces of the puzzle together when we don't know any idea, have any idea how it's going to come together. The providential, all-knowing, good, great, loving hand of God put this widow exactly where she needed to be when she needed to be there.
Amen.
But exactly where she needed to be when she needed to be there. She didn't know Elijah was coming there. She knew that God, notice I want you to see here in verse 9, at the end of the verse, he says, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. But listen, she didn't know. Pay attention up here, please, tonight. Okay? Okay, please pay attention. God wants us to pay attention. Okay? If somebody else wants to be distracted, let them be distracted. You pay attention. Okay? Listen, this woman did not know when Elijah was coming, but God was working it together for her good. She didn't know that Elijah, all she knew was the man of God was coming. All she knew was that she had a chore ahead of her. But she did not, according to Scripture, as far as we can tell, she didn't know when he was coming. She didn't know from what direction he was coming. She was just doing what she had to do, and God's hand was guiding her through all of this. You remember a lady named Esther, don't you?
Amen.
A lady named Esther who her uncle Mordecai had adopted her because her parents had died. And then the Queen Vashti refused to go in and dance before the men of the kingdom. And then the king got rid of her and then brought in all these virgin ladies to replace the queen. Well, Esther was one of them. And Esther was the one that was picked by the king to be the next queen. Now, what a coincidence, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not a coincidence. It's absolute providential hand of God. It's God moving an unseen hand that you can't see, but he's moving things around, putting pieces in place. And it was Mordecai that said to Esther there in the book of Esther, he said, listen, you just don't know, but maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Listen, in other words, you're here on purpose at this time for a very specific reason. And see, God's providential hand was working, and this widow is right there where she needs to be, and he put her in the right place at the right time. Secondly, his providential hand provided for her, listen now, in the time of drought and famine.
Yep.
God's hand was working in this widow's life to provide for her when everyone else was literally dying.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
You see, she had one more meal left. That means there were other people there around her that had already probably eaten their last meal. There was a great famine. There was a drought in the land. There wasn't an abundance of food. There was no Walmart. There was no Kroger. There was no Albertsons.
Yeah, amen.
And if there was, their shelves were empty.
Yeah.
There was a famine. There was a drought. And other people were dying.
Yep.
And see, God's providential hand was involved in this lady's life, and because she was doing what, and I'm going to get to why in a minute, why his hand was involved in her life, but God was working in this widow's life to provide for her when everyone else was literally suffering from starvation, suffering from doubt, suffering from famine and hunger. Listen to me, you remember this morning, don't you? Maybe if you were here, but when God brought that ninth plague upon Egypt, and the darkness came upon the darkness that was felt. The Bible says that there was light in the houses of children of Israel.
Amen.
In other words, there was a distinct difference between God's people and the people of Egypt. God's people and the people of the world. And God, it's God's hand that was providing light for his people, but yet when they were surrounded by darkness in the world. And see, this little widow lady here was going to be able to eat throughout this whole famine without any problems when other people around her were starving.
Amen.
I'm going to get to the two sticks in a minute.
Amen.
The two sticks are the reason.
Mm-hmm.
The two sticks are the reason.
Amen.
The providential hand of God is involved in this lady's life. These two sticks are the reason. Secondly, I want you to, these two sticks are going to give us a peek, now listen, into this widow's godly character. Into this widow's godly character. There's two sticks laying on this table, and just for sake of illustration, I wanted to do that. These two sticks are going to stand for some character qualities in this lady's life.
Amen.
These two sticks. Now, I'll just use this first one. It doesn't matter. They're both just sticks. Amen. But the point is, this first one is going to represent the character of this lady in the fact that she, her stewardship, listen now, her stewardship based on her submission. Now, I want you to pay attention to me tonight. I'm doing a lot of teaching, but you need to get, these are very important character qualities that we all need to have. Two key aspects about this widow's character in these two sticks. This first stick is going to represent her stewardship based on her submission. Now, pay attention now, and I hope I can help you understand what I'm saying. This widow was out gathering two sticks to make a fire and cook her last meal.
Amen.
Listen now, she wasn't wasting her last meal.
Amen.
Now you say, preacher, oh, nobody would waste their last meal. She wasn't wasting her last meal. She wasn't wasting the little bit of oil that she had.
Right.
This is what God calls good stewardship.
Amen.
Listen, it is no different for you to waste what God has given you tomorrow than it was for her to waste her last meal.
Yes, amen.
It's all stewardship.
Amen.
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 It's no different for you to take food and throw it in the garbage can tomorrow than for her not to waste her last meal.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
It's no different for you to take money and blow it on stupid, foolish, worthless things when you could have been giving it to the Bendaws to help them take those Bibles to Liberia, Africa. That's all stewardship.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
These two sticks are the reason that God's providential hand was involved in her life.
Amen.
I want you to listen to me tonight. She wasn't wasting what she had.
Yes, amen.
What does the word steward mean? The word steward means one who wisely manages, listen, that which belongs to another.
Amen.
You and me are foolish enough to believe that what we have is ours.
Yeah, come on.
That's right.
You and me are foolish enough to believe that what we have belongs to me.
Yeah.
Come on, help us.
God is the giver of everything.
Yes,
everything comes from God.
Amen.
I want you to hold your place here. I'm trying to hurry, but there's so many distractions tonight that I'm not going to go too fast. Look in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Stewardship. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Verse 12, Judges chapter 6. Verse 13 now. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now look up here for a second. Gideon was threshing wheat. Now I don't have time to read the whole story, but the Midianites were taking everything that the children of God had. Every time they had a crop grow up, the Midianites would come in and harvest their crop and take it away from them. They were punishing them. They could not grow any food. They were starving to death, literally. And what's happening here is Gideon has a little bit of wheat that he's threshing in the threshing floor to provide for his family. And God shows up. And have you ever wondered why God showed up and so chose Gideon? Gideon was he was the least of his family, the least in the tribe. He was a scared man. He needed a sign, then he needed another sign, then he needed another sign. He was not the kind of man that you would say, what a mighty man Gideon is. Yeah. He was not a warrior just by looking at him. Yeah. What was it about Gideon that God said, thou mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you to deliver your whole nation? What was it, listen to me, is that he was not wasting what he had.
Amen. That's right.
See, stewardship. Yeah. Stewardship is taking what God has given you and using it for His glory. You will get God involved in your life when you learn what I'm talking about tonight.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
It's taking what God's given you. He was not some strong specimen of a man. He was simply a good steward with the little bit that he did have. He was not wasting it.
Amen, preacher.
Good stewardship is based on one thing. Submission.
Yes, amen.
Go back to chapter 1 Kings 17. Remember, I said this stick represents the first half of her character. Godly character is her stewardship based on her submission.
Yes, amen.
Now, stewardship is only going, you're only going to be a good steward of what you have if you are a submissive Christian.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
What does that mean, preacher? That means you're just going to be content with what God's giving you.
Amen.
And you're going to use it to the best of your ability to glorify God.
Right.
Listen, see, this widow had a little bit of meal, a little cruse of oil. She didn't have a whole lot. God had already told her about this. Listen to me. Look in verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She already knew that God had told her this was going to happen.
Right.
Okay. Now, so she did not argue with God. She did not go away from God's will. She simply submitted to what God told her. Now listen, follow me now. This is important. There's a lot of meat in this message if you'll listen. Her stewardship, the fact that she was not throwing her waste, the little bit of oil and meal that she had, was based on the fact that she was submissive to the place where she was. She was submissive to the situation she was in.
Amen. Amen.
She had no control over this drought.
Yeah, that's right.
She had no control over the lack of rain. That was between Elijah and God and Ahab. She's just a little widow woman in a town called Zarephath. She had no control over what was going on around her. She did have control over what she had, though.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yep.
And because she was not fighting her situation, she was submissive to it. Therefore, she was a good steward of what she had. See, it all worked, those two, stewardship and submission.
Yes, amen.
It's exactly what this woman understood.
Amen.
See, she didn't get out of God's will so she could get more.
Right. Yeah.
Listen to me. She didn't say, I ain't doing this.
Yes, that's right.
God said, no, you're going to stay right here.
Yes.
Because a man of God's going to show up.
Yep.
And you're going to sustain him.
Amen.
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 And instead of running to the next town to find some other job, running to the next church to find a better church, running to another version of the Bible,
preach it. Yep.
She submitted to God's will.
Yes. Amen.
Yep.
And that made her a good steward of what she had.
Right. Amen.
See, she was a good steward.
Amen.
Because of her submission.
Amen.
She was submissive to what God had given her.
Yes, amen.
You remember Joseph in Potiphar's house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to go over there for sake of time. Joseph was sold into slavery. He had no control over that.
That's right.
He didn't do anything wrong. But it was, we found out later, it was God's will for his life. Instead of being grumpy, instead of fighting it, instead of trying to find greener pastures, he submitted to God's will. Therefore, he was the best steward that Potiphar had ever seen. And God was with him. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. A good steward.
Yes, amen.
Of what she had. And this one stick represents that part of her character. She was out gathering sticks. Because she wasn't going to waste what she had. As she was submissive to the will of God.
Amen.
This one stick reminds us of her character. She was a good steward. I want you to understand, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look with me over there in Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. When God saved you, what he did is he made you a steward of his belongings, of his possessions. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And he said also unto the disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward.
Yep.
We have a real rich Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I mean, he owns we talk about the cattle on 1,000 hills. So what about a bunch of cattle? He owns everything.
Amen.
I mean, I know the Bible says that. And I guess the Lord likes brisket too, amen. But the fact that God is the owner of everything. The heavens are his, the earth is his, everything up above and below. We have a real rich Heavenly Father. And listen, we're his stewards. And this same was accused unto him that he had wasted his good. You see, that's what stewardship is not, is wasting God's goods. As Americans, we have become so ungodly wasteful, it's not funny. We waste, and I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about everything. Let's look in verse 2. He called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Notice these next three words. Give an account.
Yep.
You're going to stand before God.
Yes, sir.
You may not like this, and you may be bored or whatever, but I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account of my stewardship.
Amen.
What I did with what God gave me.
Amen.
Amen.
You're going to answer to God. Listen, you're going to answer to God for what you do with this message.
Yes,
because God has given it to you.
Yes, that's right. Amen, preacher.
This is the truth from the Word of God that God is given to you, and you're going to stand before God, Seth, and you're going to answer to God about what you did with this message. I didn't understand it, preacher. Okay, if that's true, then you won't be held accountable. But I think that it's pretty simple to understand. If God gives you something, you don't throw it away. You use it for His glory.
Yes, amen.
I think you can even understand. Everybody can understand that.
Amen.
God gives us.
Yes, amen.
And he says, you're going to give an account of thy stewardship.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's not exciting. It's kind of humbling. It's kind of scary. Because look, we've been given so much.
Yes.
I mean, we have been given a lot.
Amen.
How about our time?
Uh-huh.
Every second that ticks by is a second that God gives you.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
You don't have any control over that.
That's right. That's right.
God has lent us His time. He's given us the breath that we breathe.
Right.
Everything that we have is because God has decided to allow us to have it.
Amen.
Our time. I mean, let's just be practical here. Can we just bring it down to the bottom shelf? What do we do with our time when it's time to come to church?
Come on. Amen. Preach.
Sunday school.
Yep.
Sunday morning.
Yep.
Sunday night.
Yep.
Prayer meeting. Wednesday night.
Yes,
soul winning. Bible Institute students. What do you do with your time when you're supposed to be studying?
Come on. Preach.
I mean, it's pretty pathetic.
Yes, that's right. Man.
You got time for everything else except for you improving your understanding and knowledge of this book.
Oh, help us.
You're going to stand before God. You may get quiet. That's fine. Get quiet right there. But we're going to stand before God with, and we're going to answer, what did I do with my time? Because you don't, time is given to you by God.
Yes, amen. Preach it.
You're going to answer for your talents.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
I mean, maybe you don't have any, but you do. I mean, Brother Josh is a great mechanic. Some of you ladies are great cooks, and others are. Brother Worcester is a builder. In the Navy, he would have been a CB, amen, a BU, a builder. He should have joined the real military. He should have joined the Navy. But anyway. But listen, some of you are gifted with things that God has given you, talents, but yet you don't use them for God.
Yes, that's right.
Musical talents that you won't practice.
Come on.
You can sing, but you won't do it.
Come on. Preach.
We should have special music around here, but we just won't do it because we won't give God what He's given us. Yes. We won't use it for His glory. We're wasting it.
Come on. Yes, that's right.
That's right.
We're wasting it.
Help us.
See, this woman was not wasting what she had because she was submissive to the place that God had her.
Amen.
How about our treasures?
Come on, preach it.
Amen.
Every green dollar bill you have, it's mine, preacher. I earned it. No, you didn't. God gave you that job. God gave you that strength to work that job. God gave you the ability to even be able to add 2 + 2, dearly beloved. You know, there are some people who can't.
Right.
Yep.
That's right.
And God could take that from you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So what are you doing with your money?
Come on. That's right.
I mean, are you the first fruit belong to God?
Yes, amen.
The tenth, off the top. Not after you pay taxes. Yeah. Not after you pay your bills. Yeah. Not after you make your wife happy. Yeah. Or you make your husband happy. Yeah. Or you fill your pantry with food. But off the top.
Yeah,
God deserves the best and the first. But see.
Come on, preach it.
What's wrong with us?
Help us.
Yeah. Amen.
Try it.
If there's anything left over, I'll give God some.
Come on.
That's why God's not working in your life.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
That's why God's not working in your life. You can like it or you can lump it, but it's not God. That providential hand of God, remember, that's because this woman had some character. She understood what I have is God's, and I'm going to use it. I'm not going to waste it.
Amen, preacher.
What about your treasures?
Come on.
Are you tithing? How about these missionary letters that we read every day?
Yes, amen.
Are you giving to missions?
Help us.
Amen.
You know, there.
Help us, preacher.
I'm going to give you a story. I think she'd be all right. Miss Chancellor moved out of town and went to Bowie to be with her family. But last year at the missions conference in May, she committed to give a certain amount to missions all year long. That's what we do every year.
Yeah.
By the way, you don't have to wait till May to give to missions, but
right.
But. When we were over to visit her and she told us she was leaving and all that thing, and you know, that's fine. That's up to you. That's between you and God. You know what she did? She wrote me out a check for the remainder of the time between now and May for all of her missions.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know what? That's character.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
I've got some people who left church and I haven't heard, I haven't heard a word, let alone a check.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Yep, that's right.
He said, preacher, is that all you're talking about? If that's your attitude, then your heart's not right.
Yeah.
That's not. I'm talking about the fact that our time, our talents, our treasures, whatever thing we have, it's because God has given it to us. What are we? Listen, by the way, after you tithe and give to missions, doesn't mean you go out and buy cigarettes and beer with the rest. It's still God's money.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
Or rated R movies.
Come on, preach it.
Or mini skirts for your daughters.
Come on, preach. Hey.
Amen.
You're still wasting it.
Yeah.
You're still spending on what the world says. What about God? See, the providential hand of God was involved. Y'all getting real quiet. That's okay. The providential hand of God was involved because this one stick represents her stewardship because she was submissive to what God had, where God had her and what God was doing in her life.
Come on, preacher.
See, here's what happens. We get down to a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil after we say, that's all I got left.
Come on. Yep, that's right. Preach.
That's not submission.
Come on, preacher.
That's rebellion.
That's right.
Preach it.
See, if you would submit to God and be a good steward, you're going to answer to God for your stewardship, whether you're flying high or soaring low.
Yes.
You're going to answer to God for what you do with every one of those paychecks.
Yes, amen.
Every one of those days that God gives you to breathe His air. Every person that walks by you that should be a gospel track in their hand, listen, what are you doing with that?
Come on. That's right. Amen. Yeah,
we want God involved in our, we need God involved in our lives. God's hand moving us, putting us where we need to be at the right time. God's hand, why is it that some people are just provided for miraculously over and over and over again? Because they've learned what I'm trying to teach you tonight. That God will get involved in your life if you'll be a steward of what He's given you as you submit to His will.
Yes, amen.
Don't fight it.
Amen.
Don't fight it. I've got so much to say, I've got to hurry. But it's required. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required. God is holding us accountable.
Yes, amen.
This widow's submission was tried. Go back over there. This widow's submission and her stewardship was tried. God was testing her. That's what's going on. God's testing her.
Yep.
And don't you think for a minute that God's not going to test you?
Yes, I am.
Of course He's going to test you.
Yep.
Dear God, if God didn't test us, how would we even know where we're at? How would we know where we stand? But this widow's submission was tried, and she was found to be faithful.
Yep, amen. That's right.
Now I want you to notice something. 1 Kings 17, I'm trying to hurry. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. And that's usually why we don't do what I'm talking about. Because we're afraid. We're afraid. And it's normal. Obviously, God says, don't fear, though. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. See, listen to me. She was required to put God's word and God's will before her own family.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, boy.
Amen, preacher. Come on.
It's not...
Yes, amen.
It's not unusual for God to put you in a place like that.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Amen.
How many times have I seen our income for that week? And I know what I've got to give to God. It's His. I want to give it to God. I don't even have a choice.
Amen.
I've come to a place where I don't have a choice. I'm a fool if I rob God's money and think God's going to bless me. Yeah. I'm a fool.
That's right. Amen.
But I it's not more than once. I've seen that page that come and I've seen, and I see my bills and I think, and then my sweet wife comes to me and says, sweetheart, how much do I have for groceries?
Yeah.
You want the truth?
Amen.
Yep, that's right.
I don't want you to feel sorry for me. You can tell I'm not going hungry.
Amen.
But this is the reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Because it doesn't matter what my family, you know what we do? We get in the living room and we pray.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Amen.
We get in the living room and we sit around in a circle and we go around the room and we pray. We say, Lord, you got to provide for our family.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You know what we do? We sit in our living room, we sit around in a circle and we pray, Lord, you got to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep. That's right. Amen.
Now, I would much rather do that than to rob God.
Amen.
Yep.
Because
Amen.
God always
yep.
blesses.
That's Amen. Right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
His providential hand Amen. Takes care of it all.
Amen.
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 But see, she had to put God, listen now, don't miss this. She had to put God before her family.
Yep.
Right.
Before her yes. family.
That's right. Amen.
It was God's word. It was God's will yeah. that she put God before her family.
Yes, amen.
But her family would have starved if she had it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Why don't we get that?
Come on, right, preacher. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Our money comes in and we do what we want with it. And, I think I've got a little bit left for God. And then we wonder why we're struggling. Why God's not blessing. Yeah. Why don't we understand what I'm trying? Yes. Listen, this stick, stewardship,
yes.
as you submit it to God's will.
Amen.
Now, I know you're wondering, what's this other stick? Well, I'm trying to get there, but there's a lot to say. Yes. I'm hurrying, really. I'm trying. Listen, she obeyed God.
Amen.
She did what God told her. And he blessed her.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
The second stick is going to represent this woman's service when she saw a need.
Amen.
Now, by the way, I don't think this is a coincidence. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing pretty about these sticks. There's nothing special about these sticks. I didn't go to a store and buy these sticks. I found these sticks out back.
Amen.
They're just ugly old sticks, broken yep. off, just like any other stick. In other words, you know, it doesn't take anybody with a whole lot of wonderful talents and treasures and beauty. No, we're just common, everyday, ordinary folks. This woman was nothing special. She just learned a couple things in her life.
Amen.
Number one, she learned to be a good steward as she submitted to God's will. Number two, she learned to be a servant, listen, when she saw a need.
Amen.
Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Okay, I'm glad you asked. She learned to be, now, these are the two sticks that she was gathering. These are the two sticks that if you'll pay attention tonight, I believe we can get God's hand more involved in our lives. Verse 12 says, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. If you're back in 1 Kings 17, verse 12. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Notice that I may go in and dress it for me and my son.
Yep.
Now think about this. She was gathering these two sticks for her son. Now look, she could have ignored her son. This was all she had left.
Yeah.
She could have said, son, you're on your own.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of oil left and I'm hungry. I said, preacher, that would never happen. Moms are doing it every day.
That's right.
That's right.
Moms are doing it every day.
Yes, amen. That's right.
No. Ignoring their children to do what they want to do.
Right. Yep. Yep. That's right. That's right, preacher. Preach.
There's that little kid. Well, you know, he'll make it.
Come on.
I've got to get my new clothes. I've got to get my this, my that. You know, I've got to pay for this car. There's that little boy over there. Well, he'll make it. You know, I'll give him some scraps.
Come on. Yep. Preach. Help us.
Moms are doing it every day.
Yep. That's right. That's right, preacher. Amen.
She was gathering these two sticks to serve her son.
Yep.
Because she saw a need.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
She saw a need in somebody else.
Amen.
See, I want you to think about this. She knew she needed a fire.
Yes.
So she was gathering sticks.
Amen.
Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out.
Amen.
She saw the need. Now listen, don't miss this. This is the better part than that. She saw the need. Someone else was hungry. Now listen, pay attention. Don't miss this. And her oil was cold. See, the sticks were lit on fire. The oil was heated up. The meal was mixed with the oil to make bread because someone else was hungry.
Amen.
Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And her oil was cold.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Come on.
So therefore, she could not serve anybody else.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
Because their oil was cold.
Yes, that's right.
A quenched Holy Spirit is a cold Holy Spirit.
Right.
To quench means you pour water on a fire.
Right.
Instead of thriving and burning to win souls that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that are dying and going to hell because they can't find the bread of life, our oil gets cold and we don't even see the need and we don't serve anybody because our oil is cold. And that's what I'm trying to say to you tonight, that this second stick, she saw a need in someone else's life, but she realized, I can't serve that need until my oil gets hot again.
Yes, yeah. Amen. Heaven, preacher.
God help us, we need some revival.
Amen.
Our oil is cold. Cold. As long as it's good for me, oh, it's exciting. But listen to me, what about others?
Cold. Amen, preacher.
What about your bus route?
Amen.
When's the last time you even tried to knock those doors?
Come on, preach.
I know it's getting quiet,
amen.
But you know what's wrong? Your oil is cold.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen, preacher.
What about those kids on your bus route that used to come? Have you even tried to go visit them?
Oh, help us.
No, because your oil's cold.
Come on, preach it.
See, you want God to get involved in your life.
Come on.
These two sticks.
Yes, amen.
Are the answer.
Yes, amen.
Our oil's cold, though.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Our oil's cold.
That's right.
She wasn't sitting around praying for God to feed her son. She was doing something about it that she had.
Yes.
She had been given, and she was not going to let her oil stay cold.
Right. Amen.
Because somebody else needed her.
Yes, amen. Amen.
She wasn't going to build a big fire. She only had two sticks.
Right.
You know, we don't have to set the world on fire. But dearly beloved, listen to me. We need to start somewhere.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, sir.
Is your heart, when's the last time your heart really burned?
Amen.
Yes.
On fire for God. I mean, I know we talk about it all the time, but listen, it dies out quick.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And we're more excited about the foolishness of this world, and we get so riled up and excited about football and baseball and sports and money, and our oil is just completely cold when it comes to somebody dying and going to hell.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Come on, preacher.
They'll get it.
Help us.
Our oil's cold.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
She knew, my oil's cold.
Yes, amen.
And my son's hungry. There's somebody else involved in this life. It's not just about me. See, where no wood is, James chapter 3, verse 5 says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little fire. She was just going to start a little fire, but all she had was a little oil, but that oil was going to heat up, and then she was going to be able to cook and make that bread and serve somebody else. She saw a need, and so she was willing to do what she had to do to meet that need as a servant, but it all started with her heating up her oil.
Amen.
Amen.
Is your oil cold? Are you even listening to me tonight? I promise you, if you're bored, your oil is beyond cold.
That's right.
Amen.
It's beyond cold.
Yep.
If all you're thinking about is what time I'm going to finish, your oil is cold.
Yeah, come on.
Sir. Yep.
Correct.
I don't know about you, but listen, it's our human nature to just live for ourselves, and it's only because our oil gets cold. You see, the Holy Spirit of God in us is the only thing that's going to motivate us and drive us and push us to do anything for other people.
Yep, amen. That's right. Amen.
Because everything we do is for ourselves.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. God didn't save me and take away all my sin nature. I'm just like you. And I know I have those days where I realize I don't really care as much as I should. I don't really burn in my heart for souls to be saved like I should or like I used to. And it's for one reason. Yeah. It's because my oil has got cold.
Amen. Amen. That's right, preacher. Amen.
My oil's gotten cold.
Amen.
This widow had some character. These two sticks represent a whole lot.
Amen.
She was a good steward of what she had. She was submissive to God's will. Hey, listen to me. Don't forget this. Don't miss this. She was prepared to die in God's will.
That's right. Amen.
That's what she said. I'm going to make this. We're going to eat it. We're going to die.
Yep.
She was prepared to die.
Yep.
In God's will.
That's right.
That's pretty. That's as submissive as you can get.
Right. Yep. Amen.
But she was a servant also. And she saw a need. And she did not let her oil get cold so that someone else could be fed. Man, I tell you what, that is convicting.
Amen.
Amen.
That is convicting. Oh, Lord. We cannot let our oil stay cold.
That's right.
Oh, God, help us. See, the providential hand of God was involved in her life because of these two sticks.
Yep. Amen.
And we peek into her character and see why God was involved. What these two sticks represent. And finally tonight, there's a powerful truth behind all of this.
Yep. Amen.
A very powerful truth. These two sticks tell us a lot about this little widow, but I want you to notice in Luke chapter 4, if you will, chapter 4, verse 21. And he, Jesus, Luke 4:21, began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Luke 4, verse 23. And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." See, they're saying, this is just Joseph's son. These gracious words, where are they coming from? This is just Joseph's son. And he said, "You're going to tell me later, Physician, heal thyself," which they did on the cross. And he said, "You know what? Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But," verse 25, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." What is he saying? Jesus is honoring this widow hundreds of years later.
Yeah,
that's right.
Why? Because don't you think Jesus knew a little bit about stewardship?
Amen.
Based on submitting to the will of God?
Amen. Yeah.
Don't you think Jesus knew a little bit about serving others based on seeing a need? A need. You and me is who he saw.
Amen.
See, if I were to take these two sticks and make them a little bit bigger and rearrange them, you might see something like this.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Amen.
Two sticks.
Yep. That's right, preacher. Amen.
Why was Jesus honoring that little widow? Because he had two sticks in his life too.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
He had two sticks in his life too.
Amen.
Jesus embodied the character of this widow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
Stewardship of his life. He gave it. That's all he did was give.
Yep.
He gave his up to his life. Right. That's all he did was give.
Yes, amen.
It's submitting to his Father's will.
Yep.
Not my will but thine be done. He served you and me.
That's right.
Because he saw a need. He knew we needed to be saved.
Yes.
And so these two sticks, he knew exactly what this widow was going through.
Yes, amen.
These two sticks ought to light a fire in your heart.
Amen.
It ought to light a fire in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew about this. You understand, our oil gets cold because we forget about these two sticks. These two sticks were the fire under the altar that sacrificed the Lamb of God.
That's right.
I'm not doing enough. We're not doing enough. We've let our oil get cold. When it comes time to honor God with whatever He wants, our first response is not, "Thank you, Lord." Our first response is, "I don't think so, Lord." See, this time of year, we sing and we shout and let, "Oh, come, let us adore Him." Oh, come, let us adore Him. Elijah learned a lot from this widow. I learned a lot from this widow. But Jesus honored her. Because everything that that widow was, He was. Are we like Christ? Are we like this widow? Listen, if your oil's cold, listen. Hey, don't be ashamed of it. It happens.
That's right. Yeah.
It happens. It happens way too often. And where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Get some wood, at least two pieces.
Amen.
Stewardship. Give God what's His. Amen. Just submit to God's will and give Him what's His and trust Him. Fear not.
Amen.
And look, see the need all around you. And get your oil hot again and serve. That's all Jesus did. That's all these two sticks represent. That's all He did. We need to keep our oil hot, church. Maybe you need to reheat it tonight. I know I do. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray for Your help tonight. Thank You for this widow, Lord. Thank You for these two sticks. Thank You for this message. Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. God.